It is God's will to perfect that which He has created for His pleasure. Yeah. It is God's will to perfect that which He has created for His pleasure. This message about the perfecting of everybody, God has never, ever had any other thing in mind. First of all, God has always wanted to perfect us because no one else can. No one else can perfect us. And the only thing that blocks us is that we have sin in our lives, which He forgives. Then we have sin in our life, in our souls, which He wants to eliminate by cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And then we have sin in our doing, our behavior, our walk, which He also wants to cleanse. And the blood of Jesus does all three. The blood of Jesus forgives us of our sins, and it cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and then it also perfects us in love so that we will be the bride that Jesus wants to have perfect. And unless you're perfect, you don't go to heaven. Unless you're perfect, you do not go to heaven. If you have one sin at all, you're out. You'll be rejected. However, the interesting thing about it is God does it. God doesn't want you to help out. God does not want you to participate. He is the one that forgives you. He is the one that cleanses you. And He is the one that perfects you in love so that you are a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. It totally goes against your mind, your will, and your emotions. Totally. So everything about God is to perfect mankind. Everything is God's desire to what God created, and Jesus then forgave us. He wants to perfect it so that we go through this threefold process, 4, 5, and 6, so that we are completely perfected when He comes back. And so when He comes back, He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servants, because we did it." But now, before He comes back, you will never see this with your eyes. Before He comes back, as soon as He comes back, you will. But before He comes back, you only believe by faith. In other words, faith means you have faith in someone other than yourself, faith in Jesus Christ to completely transform you from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, and so on, until you're perfected in love. So since you don't do that, most people just stop at 4. Once they repent of their sins and comfort themselves to say, "God has forgiven me," they kind of stop right there. So most other churches, I can easily say that, the majority of other churches stop at 4. They don't go any further than that. And there's a simple reason for that. Pastors do not mentor the people. They just don't. There's no room for it in any church. And even though they might have a discipleship training thing, it often is just a form without reality. But this perfecting is something you don't do. It's something that Jesus does for you because He gives you the good news, which you read, and then your sins are forgiven. And that's simple, just like that. But most people say, "Hey, I've done it. I've finished with that. And now I don't need to grow." But you forget that you cannot go to heaven just because your sins are forgiven. You cannot go to heaven just because your sins are forgiven. And many people believe it, but that means you haven't read the New Testament, you haven't read the Old Testament, you haven't read the Bible at all. Because the Bible not only forgives you for his sins, he is faithful and just to do that, but he also wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, though you don't have any in you. And that produces then the fact that you're perfected in love, because you become a lover not only of God, which brings peace to you, peace on earth, but also you begin to love your neighbor as yourself, and that brings peace on earth for other people. Now, you haven't seen that yet. You can see it individually here and there. Greg is a good example. He was a member of this church, and he everything that I taught, he wanted to learn. He wanted to know exactly what it was, and he lived it. He immediately didn't think about it. He just immediately applied it to his life. And so he's a good one to point out. But God's will is to do this for everybody. The reason you're guilty before God and why you need to repent of your sins, number three, the reason you're guilty is because when you were conceived in the womb 9 months before you're born, when you were conceived, he wrote upon your heart with his finger, his index finger of the right hand. So with this index finger, he writes on you his law. So now, if you don't keep the law perfectly, wages of sin is death, you die. And so, knowing that, God rearranged the whole program, because Adam and Eve sinned right off the bat. I mean, just as soon as they were created, Eve went and saw the tree and took of the fruit and ate, just exactly what God forbade her to do. Now, of course, Adam had heard God say that, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Didn't say he'd kill him. He just said, you'll surely die. It's like poisoning. You're poisoning yourself. When you go your own way, when you do your own thing, the wages of that is death. You can't have one sin. So once he's written this on your heart and then forgiven you through the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus also then wants you to become a disciple, not just a believer, but a disciple who has no sin in their lives. And daily the Holy Spirit works on you to show you another sin and another sin and another sin until you have no sin in your life, until you're a lover perfected in love. That is the perfect work of God. And everybody in the world without God, everybody in the world without God wants to be God. Everybody in the world. You don't know this, but it's in the Bible. Everybody wants to deify themselves. I'll explain it differently. Everyone wants to be the center of the universe. Everyone feels that their thoughts and their emotions and their will is central to everyone else's life. And if they're given a chance, they'll want to be the Antichrist. They'll want to be God. They'll want to deify themselves. And that's what the Antichrist will do in a few years. When he does that, you will just see what's in everybody's heart. Everybody, because everything in you, God created you in such a way that you were created for vanity. Because there's no one ever that has done any good. There's no one ever that has done any good. As a matter of fact, you see people trying to, in every church, they're trying to make an atonement or maybe make an offering or maybe do something good. You're incapable of that. God created you in such a way that you're not capable of being good. You cannot be perfect. And so only God can do it. God created you in the first place, and he can recreate you in his image and in his likeness, not just natural, but he can give you a whole new generation. You'll be a new creation. So we're not Jewish. We're not Gentiles. We're a new creation. And God has done that in the Bible. He's written it down in the Bible, how this all takes place, and everything that he said will come to pass before this world ends. This world will not run out of time until God proves everything that he promised it'll actually be, you'll see it. Now, when Jesus comes back again in a few years, when Jesus comes back again, he's going to look for those that are ready, that are number seven, they're a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. But God has to be the one that perfects you or you won't make it. If you stop at four and you don't go to five because you didn't want to kill yourself, you won't make it. Because unless you kill yourself, you'll want to be God. You'll want to be the center of the universe. You'll want to be important. You think that you are great. But the truth is, the Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, the Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, if you can do nothing, that means you can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. So no man has ever been good in and of themselves. And since we bury people now, we call them saints. The reason they're a saint is because they haven't seen Jesus return. And we call them saints because they have no sin in them, because they're not only forgiven, they also have become discipled so that they're like Jesus. And when you're fully taught, you'll be a lover. So you become a believer, then a disciple, and then a lover. And that's how you become the bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. And the reason we could celebrate Greg's passing is simple, because he was teachable. I don't know that I've ever had someone that I could teach so easily. He wanted to know everything. And when we came together, he wasn't after happiness. He wasn't trying to, you know, trying to get happiness. Happiness is easy, but it won't be happiness. If you find happiness, it won't last. Guaranteed, you'll be disappointed, because everything that makes you happy is not really joy. It's not really joy unspeakable and full of glory. So everything people seek today is just fixed up their lives. They want to market God and make sure that they have some fruit that proves they're a Christian. But the only way you can be a Christian is to believe without seeing. You cannot see it. The only thing you see is this book. The only thing you can see in this world is this book. And all you can do by reading this word is to become a believer without seeing. Thomas, he said, "Oh, if I could just see, if I could see something, I wish I had an experience like that, that I could see it." Well, he had that experience. He put his hand in Jesus' side, where the spear was thrust. He put his fingers right into his hands and said, "Wow, now I believe." And Jesus said to him, wasn't rebuking him, he just simply was teaching. He said to him, "It's not he who sees that believes. It's he who, without seeing, yet you believe just based on the word that I spoke to you." This word that I spoke to you that's now written down in the New Testament, and it's always the same in the Old Testament, it just says one word: Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is everything you've ever wanted. But people don't want that. What they want is the fruit. What they want is the fruit. They want the proof that I'm a Christian because I did this or I did that. No, nothing that you do amounts to a hill of beans. Nothing that you ever do. And he was aware of that. And so when I would go to his home or his house and speak to him, that's what we'd talk about. You know, if there's any wicked way, let the Holy Spirit reveal it. And he said, "Yeah, I want that." So that you might be pure, spotless, without any blemish at all. So he understood the perfection, because only God perfects a man. No one else can perfect a man. Nobody who reads self-help books or trying to improve yourself or trying to realize who you are. It's all nonsense. It's all vanity. Man at his best state, I mean at his best state, when you're moral and you're clean and you're religious and you try your best, it's all despised by God. In God's sight, no one is perfect except Jesus. And Jesus died for you so that you not only would repent of your sins, but also that you believe that his death is your death. And that you'd believe that the reason that you are born again is so that you could die. So the only reason you have a new life, a new creation, so that you can die. And the only reason you die is so you can be resurrected. And the only reason you're resurrected is so that you become the bride of Christ, who is the Lamb, the spotless Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. So he forgives you, then he cleanses you of all unrighteousness, and then you become a perfected lover. In other words, there's nothing in you that doesn't want to walk in the same way you talk. Here we talk about, I believe in Jesus, but unless you walk, to do that, you'd have to die. You'd have to be dead to yourself so that you no longer try to behave yourself or please God, since God does everything. God does everything. There's nothing God has not done. As a matter of fact, he is the only one in the universe that acts. No one else acts in the universe. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's it. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, perfect. Perfect. And what he wants to do is conform us to his likeness. We're born in the image of God, but we were also born to be like him in our walk, as well as in our discipleship and our training and our teaching, as well as that we're now a new creation. So God wants us to be perfected, otherwise we're not allowed to go to heaven, and you will not. So he wants this to know that the very thing you hate is all is this chair right here, because this is where I die to myself. The only thing that sins in you is yourself. The only thing that you, if you do good work, you'll be proud of yourself. Well, that's a sin. Or you'll be afraid, or you'll be disappointed, or you whatever. All of that is sin, and he wants all the sin gone, and he's the only one that can do it. So since he did all of those, for example, this is your heart, which is really in the Bible called the bowels of mercy. This is down in your gut, right down here. In your heart, you have faith that Jesus Christ is your righteousness. But now, that just makes you have a new heart. You have a perfect heart right now. Your heart is perfect. If you believe in Jesus, you have a perfect heart. But then if you don't continue in 5 or 6 so that you can be the bride of Christ, you won't grow at all. And you will not be rejected when he comes back. He's looking for a bride which is the first fruits. That would have to be 6. First fruits is everything that you do must please God. Now, how many know you can't do that? You cannot do that, even if you try real hard. You cannot please God unless God does it all. So in my life, I don't have an agenda. I don't have 2 agendas. I just have 1, to know Jesus. That's it. I don't care about the fruit. I don't care how much fruit I have. But everyone else is interested in the market. They are interested in the fruit that proves that I'm a Christian because I did this or said this and so on. You don't realize that apart from him, you can do nothing. There's nothing you can do. But in him, you can do all things as long as it's by faith now, and then later you'll see him. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appeareth on the second coming, which is very soon, when he appears, you shall see him as he is, and then you actually will feel it, you'll actually understand it, you'll actually want to do it. You won't just do it by faith, you'll actually feel it, and you'll know it. You'll be just like God, exactly as he promised. You now have Betzalemnu Kadamutnu, you now have the image of God according to the likeness of God. In other words, you have the capacity to be like him, but you can't see that right now. So I say to my wife every day, Peg, you're the best, or you're a gift of God, or you're perfect, just the way you are. You don't have to change, because that's up to God. Let God do all the changing in you. He does everything for you. And if you even try to cooperate or help him, you're not going to make it. You can't even cooperate and say, oh, I agree with that. You can't even agree with it. All you do is, he does this, it's a gift. It's a total gift. And that's why Greg is a saint in heaven because he didn't do anything. He just had peace inside of himself. God will do it all. That's the same as your son, Debbie. It's the same. He knew that he didn't have anything to worry about. He knew, I love God with all my heart and soul and strength, and I'm not going to let this go. And because of that, that's how you make a saint. You make them, they're called a saint, but they don't look like a saint because people go, you just do it by faith. I don't want Peg to change because she can't. It's not impossible because you can't even do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing sounds like nothing. Nothing doesn't mean do anything. Since he does it all, it's a gift. Everything that God has ever done is just to say, I love you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. So his grace, his mercy, his power, that's all something that the Holy Spirit does, or Jesus does, for you, and then in you, and then through you. So the perfecting of a saint is something only God can do. So when God does that, you don't even know it. It's a secret thing. It's an unseen world. You see the Bible. That's all you see. And he doesn't want you to see anything else except his words written down by the Holy Spirit, by the way. He inspired everyone to write whatever they wrote. It's his words. They're totally his words. And he never, ever talks about the Father except what he's written in here to say. He talks always about Jesus, about the mercy of God. The goodness of God is that he's merciful. And his mercy triumphs. His mercy rejoices. His mercy celebrates against judgment. So no judgment can ever come against someone who's a Christian. Why? Because God doesn't want you to do anything. And he would be wrong to say, I want you to behave. He can't say that. The world says it. Oh, the whole world is all in to improve yourself and, you know, shape up and be nice and kind and so on and so forth. Now, when you do it by faith. You don't do it because you actually feel it or understand it or want it. You don't. There's nothing in you. There's nothing in your personality that does it. Even though you're a new creation, you have a new heart, chair 4. But how do you get chair 5? You don't get it. You just say it. I have a will. I want my will. This is what I want. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. You just say those words out loud to God, and you know, I don't want my will to be done. Why? It doesn't lead to happiness. It does not lead to anything. It is not the joy unspeakable and full of glory. What this is totally looking at Jesus who does 4, 5, 6, and then you're a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So repentance is not stop doing bad things and start doing good things. There's nothing you can do. Repentance is comfort yourself. Nacham in Hebrew. When you comfort yourself, you're just saying, I repent. Not stopping something, not starting something. You can't do anything apart from him. But in him, you can do all things because he's the one that's doing it. It's not your life at all. You're seeing an unseen world that you cannot see. So when you're seeing an unseen world, you haven't been there except this book. This is the only thing you can look at. It tells you all about the unseen world. It's all about heaven. Everything in here, you don't see with your own eyes. You can't see anything what's written in here. All you can see is, I have faith in God, right? Why? Because there's nothing to it. Because all you do is you believe that Jesus Christ, his word, is your total confidence, your total trust. Your total joy is that Jesus Christ, when he died, he said, I died. You have to read that. You can't think about that. Thinking about it won't help. Or acting like it won't help. Nothing helps except reading it. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, this is good news for me, personally, because I was never good anyway. I wasn't good. I knew I wasn't good, and I deliberately stayed that way. I wanted to stay that way. I hope you aren't as bad as I am, but I was bad. But when I heard the gospel, I rejected it, I rejected it, I rejected it, and then one day I had experienced, this was an experience, I experienced the living God. We were at a party last night, and Christmas party, and this couple was from Weatherford or somewhere, and they started talking to us. I don't know why, but they started talking to us, and so Peggy started telling my story because she knows it much better than I do, and so she started telling it, and then the man asked me a question. He said, "Well, what made that happen? I mean, what happened?" As though I did anything. I didn't do anything. I just was critical, judgmental, to whatever. I was just me. I was always totally me. And in this world, that's all that counts. But in the world to come, it doesn't count. Because everything is Jesus doing things. Now, we want all people, and especially not ourselves, we want other people to behave. I'm sorry, they don't. And if they do it, they do it by faith. And if they do it by faith, they don't see it. So they can't check it out with their emotions or with their mind or with their, you know, desires and volition and willpower and so on. You can't. There's no way you can do it. So you just simply say to him right now by faith, "I not only am a Christian forgiven for all my sins because it's written in the Bible, but I also want to be a Christian. I don't want any sin in my life." That was Greg. Every time we would talk, we wouldn't talk about anyone else. We'd just talk about him. And see, no sin. You can't have any sin in your life. So that's part of God perfecting you. And he not only heard it, but he lived that. Was he perfect? Not at all. He wasn't perfect. He was just a human being like us. But you have to do it by faith. So God knows just by faith, he wrote his law on your heart. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But you didn't do that. He did that for you. Now he's doing it in you. Now he's doing it through you. But he did that. And so when the fruit comes out in chair six, that's really just the Lord Jesus. That's where the love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness And all the self-control and meekness and so on, and faith, those nine gifts are just Jesus. They're just Jesus. They're just Jesus. They're not you. So when they come, you can't brag on them. You can't say, "Well, I did this and I did that." No, you didn't. Everything you have is a gift of God. Yeah. And that's why I tell Peggy every day, I literally say every day, "You're the best. You're the best. You're perfect. Just the way you are." Because I can't see it. Well, when in heaven, I'll see it. But in earth, I don't see it. I see opposite. and I don't care. Because I don't judge by that. I judge correctly by the Bible. Just read what the Bible says. And I believe that God is a giver of good gifts. And I believe Peggy's a gift of God. And I said that to her every day. You're the best. Yes. Don't change. because you can't do anything in the first place. So when men sin, they just being themselves. So he has to get rid of all that sin. But he does it. He does it just like he does the first one. By faith, and that continues all the way until even chair 6 is still faith. 4 is faith, 5 is faith, 6 is faith. You say it by faith, meaning you can't see, it's an unseen world, but you just read it in the Bible. But as you read it and study it and disciple yourself, when a disciple's fully taught, verse 5, number 5 up there, when you're fully taught, you'll be like the master. So when you're a disciple, you're not fully taught. You're just being taught every day, every day, every day, every day. And so you see some love and some joy and so on, but you can't rely upon it because it was Jesus. It wasn't you at all. Now, this is not taught hardly anywhere. And the reason is because pastors are not discipled themselves, otherwise they would teach their people how to be discipled. Here's the answer. Here's what you do. What? Nothing. Oh, I want to do something I could be proud of. No, well, that's a sin. You can't be proud of anything you did because it was all God. But we don't want to give God the glory, but God wants all the glory. What's he going to do with it? When he gets all the glory, he just gives it to you. It just turns around and gives you all the glory that he got. He wants that all to go to you. Every spiritual blessing has been given to you. You're not looking forward to it. Yes, I know you're looking forward to it in time, but not in unseen time. It's already yours, and you can celebrate today. So the funeral was wonderful because we celebrated. We celebrated the fact that a mighty watchman, a mighty one, is now with the Lord. Well, he was always there. He was always there in his spirit as a new heart. But he's not there in his body except now. Because the moment you die, then everything is over as far as it's going. So the whole thing is, did you want to be a Christian even though you said by faith, I am a Christian and I want no sin in my life? Still, it was there. And up till the day you die, it's still there. The sin is still there. It doesn't go away because you can't take one sin and remove it. Any sin that's in your life, you can't do anything about it. So the whole thing is, how can God be good if he loves each one of us perfectly? How can he be good unless you can hear him and respond to him and he can respond to you? That's what prayer is. But you do it by faith. You don't do it by actually seeing it. The only thing you see is these words. These are the words of God. This is called the Word of God, but there's a living Word of God. This is a written Word of God that points to the living Word of God. But you cannot know Jesus, the living Word of God, without reading his written Word. There's no way. You cannot grow. So if you're just born again and then you stop there like most churches do, you're not perfected. There's no perfectness to it. Only God can perfect a man. Everybody in the world wants to perfect themselves. Everybody wants to improve themselves. Everybody wants to be moral. Moral is not in the Bible. There is no word for it. There's no word in the Old Testament, no word in the New Testament. You being moral is man-made. You being helpful to people, that's just man-made. You don't go to heaven because of that. You go to heaven because Jesus Christ loves you unconditionally. Does that make sense, Crockett? Yeah, it's perfect because Jesus does it all. So he made the world in such a way that it's subject to vanity. No, he didn't make it that it's that way. That's what we did by our choices and our actions. And so the law that's written on you says you sinned, so that sin, the wages of sin, death. Immediately you die. But God decided not to do it that way because he's a loving father. He is always a loving father, and he decided to postpone your judgment until the last day. Until the last day. Hoping that someone will become a Christian during that time and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So a lot of times someone that goes to prison is waiting there, and it's a long wait because you have to wait years and years and so on and so forth. But what God is hoping is that someone will hear the gospel in there and repent. And it happens. It happens a lot. especially if you've been to prison, you want to go back to that prison and tell everybody else the good news that you discovered, either in there or afterward. And so otherwise, you will not clean up. You will not fix up. You can't cleanse yourself in chair 5, and you can't perfect yourself in chair 6. You can only believe on Jesus, but that's not enough to make entrance into heaven. It's always future. The heaven is always future. No one has been there yet until Jesus comes back a second time. He'll deal with the beast and the false prophet and deal with everybody else, throw them in the lake of fire and so on. But then you are already in heaven by then. You will be in heaven. You will not go through the great tribulation. Why? Because you are already perfected even before you saw Jesus coming back. And you're already a bride waiting for her bridegroom to come back, because the only thing you want to know is about Jesus. I don't want to know about fruit. I'm not interested in fruit. It's a byproduct. Fruit is a byproduct. You're just a branch in his vine, and the vine has all the juice. The vine has all the power. The vine, where all the nutrients are from the vine. It draws them from the soil. It draws them from something else. In other words, heaven has put Jesus, the vine, on the earth, so that that vine, and you are grafted in there by God, the Father. He grafts you into Jesus and says, this will bear fruit even though it's dead. I can make it alive. The minute you come into Jesus, you have a new creation. You're no longer you. You have ceased to be you. So the way I was without Christ, I had no hope, whatever. There was no hope, because I didn't know the Bible and never went to church. I was 11 years old before my third father forced us to go to church. And I didn't want to go to church, but I certainly didn't want to be honest when I went there. But I knew I don't believe in God, and I don't want him. I like sinning. I'm enjoying myself. Most of you are not like that. But that's because you were raised in churches, and hopefully you got born again. But you needed to really have not only be born again, but be discipled until all sin is gone, so that you can be perfected in love. That's the goal of everybody, to be perfected in love, so that you are a lover, and that means you're dead. So you're born to die, and you die to arise again in this world, not physical. You're born to rise again to know him according to his resurrection power, so that you know him. Him. That's the only thing that the disciples knew, is Jesus. Old Testament as well as New Testament. What is it? He said, you search the scriptures, talking to the Jewish people. You search the scriptures because you think that in them, he's talking about the Old Testament, you have eternal life. No. It is they that bear witness to me, the living one. That's why I didn't say, go to the Father. I said, come unto me. Because the whole scriptures is all about Jesus being your righteousness. He spoke that to Abraham, spoke that to his son, saying, God himself will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Well, there it is. He did that when he died on the cross. When Jesus died there and shed his blood, blood does 4, blood does 5, and blood does 6. So the blood of Jesus is a threefold process. It's not a one-time event, getting born again. You're not a Christian because you're born again. You have a new heart, but you need to have a new soul, and your soul has to die. Your soul is what sins. Your body is not sinning. It's just following the soul. It's not even doing what the heart says. You can have a new heart and yet still sin. How many know Christians sin? Christians still sin. And so you're married to somebody that's a sinner. And you are, so that's two people gumming up the works. Because one thinks they're better than the other, and the other one thinks you need to be judged, and so on and so forth. It doesn't work out. this is powerful. Unless you have this joy, unless you have this peace, unless you have this love, that you're dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. You're a Christian. How did you get it? You didn't. He just offered it to you, and all you have to do is read this book. This is all you can look at. Read this book, the written word of God, and it tells you everything. And what it tells you is there's sin in you, and every day I want the Holy Spirit to, that's why you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, chair 5. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is in chair 5. He wants you to have the Holy Spirit every day, who wrote the Bible. He wrote the written word about the living word. And so all he does is take everything of Jesus, because we can read that in the Bible, and declare it to you. Everything that Jesus did was for you. Everything that he did now needs to be in you. And everything that he did now needs to be him working through you. And to God be the glory. To God be the glory. What do you know? You just know Jesus. If you just beholding him, we are changed. So you're not changed by morals. Morals is just man-made, just looking good. Morals is just keeping the law. Morals is just you suppressing yourself as though you were expressing God. You're not. You're just suppressing your old flesh to look like you're a Christian. You're not. You're not a Christian. It's just your moral training. Everybody has moral training. I mean, I didn't, but most people do. You're just behaving, and now you're religious. But it's just simply Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, whatever. It's no different than being born again and not going anywhere. You're still not going to heaven. Heaven is postponed until the last judgment. How does the judge do it? The judge sees that under the law you're guilty, but he postpones the final judgment until the end, so he gives you a whole lifetime. And then even it's after that, the great white throne judgment is the last thing that God's going to do on earth before the new heaven and the new earth. Then you get the new heaven and the new earth. This one burns up. This one's gone. And that is the power of the church today that he's building. He's not building buildings. He's building people. So this perfection of you, nobody can do. Justified, sanctified, glorified. That's just Jesus saying, my life being in contact with you, and I chose you, you didn't choose me, I chose you, I want you to be a Christian today, but do it by faith, and then when he comes again, it won't be by faith. You'll actually feel the love. You'll actually understand everything. All mysteries will be revealed to you. You'll actually want not only to be a Christian, look like one, but you actually be one and you'll feel it. You'll know, wow, I'm like God. So God has taught us this, that no one else on earth can do this except God to perfect you. Jesus is your perfection. All I want to know is Jesus. When you do that, the byproduct is that. All this fruit comes out, but you didn't make the fruit. You didn't make it. It was just made by God. You don't take any credit for it. There is no merit. The Catholic Church is wrong. The Jewish Church is wrong. Synagogue. The Muslim imams and so on, they're wrong. They're all wrong. Every one of them is wrong because they're all under laws. We're the only ones that do it by faith. But by faith is the only way you can make it, because it has to be by faith, because you don't yet see the unseen world. It's just written in here. And everything in the unseen world is how great God is, how his heart is completely for you. He doesn't want you to do one work. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you, I'll trade for you, rest. So what's the rest? The rest is don't do anything. Let Jesus begin it, keep it going, and end it. There it is. 4, 5, 6. Then you're a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Now, are some people Christians and you can see by their life that they're not living well? That's because of the pastors. The reason why people don't grow is because the pastors are not doing right. But who's going to correct it? Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. If you're a pastor, pray for the pastors. Pray for them, because they're just human beings like yourself by faith. But you don't know their heart, because only God knows their heart. But he sees into the heart, and he knows perfect judgment. 2/3 of Israel will die in Jacob's trouble. 2/3. It's in the Bible. 2/3 will die. Only 1/3 will escape. Who are they? Who are the 1/3 that will escape? They're all priests.
Why the priest? Purifying of the sons of Levi, Malachi 3:3. They're all priests. This is almost the last verse in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So these priests are familiar with one term, mercy. If you've broken the law, you broke the law, God's law, you just broke it. In fact, the only reason that that was given was so you could see that you can't do it, and it's impossible, that's so you'll believe in Jesus. That's all. It's not, so keep this law. Nobody has ever loved God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. Ever. You can't do it. Not until you're a new creation, and that's only the new heart, but you need a new soul, which needn't be dead, so that I can love Peggy with all my heart and soul and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. That's easy if you're a Christian, because you know it's by faith, and you don't need to even think about it. There's nothing to sweat, because you're not proving anything to anybody. It was all Jesus. It was all Jesus. It was all Jesus. It was all Jesus. That gives me hope in this world. So the perfecting of God is God's number one agenda. The only thing he wants to do is do something no one else can do. Make you a saint. Make you a saint. And now, it doesn't say in the Bible, to the sinners at Rome. It says to the saints. Why? How are you a saint? It's by faith. But how do you know until the last judgment who's a saint and who's not a saint? Only God knows. So you can't even judge anybody else, because you're not capable. You don't have the goods. Your mind, your will, your emotions, all the things that make up you have to die. Those are things that you decide every day and act on every day. You're either going to have faith in Jesus Christ or doubt. I doubt this word. It's not just doubting. It's doubting this word. It's an assault on God to not believe that everything in here is the truth. There's nothing in here. God has never lied to us. Everything in here is the absolute truth of God. Wow. You can bank on that. You can count on that. But you're not going to see it. You will not see it. Thomas wanted to see it. But he said, blessed are those who, having not seen, yet believe. How did that happen? You didn't do it. That was God. That's a gift of God. So the question the man asked last night was very interesting. Well, what happened to you? And I couldn't think of anything. I just know I was walking up the hallway and judging the sisters that I was with and thinking, well, they didn't do anything wrong. And all of a sudden, I knew that there was a God. It was an experience. It's nothing in the Bible. It's just an experience that I had. So plus the Bible, all of a sudden I had an experience with the living God. I didn't initiate it. I didn't even ask for it. I didn't even want it. I liked sinning. I was very happy doing whatever I was doing. But I know that I thought this. I've always done what I wanted to do, and no one stopped me. No one. But am I happy? I knew I wasn't. And yet I thought I was. I mean, if you say, are you happy? Yeah, I'm happy. But I wasn't. I lied to myself. I deceived myself. But in that moment, God broke through, and I knew there's a God. And I immediately gave my heart to him, and immediately I had a new heart. But then it took me a long while to get discipleship. I didn't want that at all. They're going to look at all my sins? Yeah, I don't want to do that. I'd like to see, you know, some good works on his part or something. He's already done it. And all of that was Jesus. But when I did it, I lost my life. Because I was no longer Jim, I was now another Jim, Jesus in me, Jim, or Jim in Jesus, Jim. I knew I was no longer me. I was now a new creation. And I knew, wow, this is so sweet. I wish every minister could hear this good news, because I know most of them, they don't know how to disciple people. They don't know how to make them grow up. It's hard. It's impossible. You know why? You can't do it. So how do you do it when you can't do it? You let Jesus do it. Does Jesus love you personally with all his heart, all his soul, all his strength?
Yes.
Well, what you see in Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Whatever I do is the Father. What I'm just showing you, I've never done anything except please the Father. A son must always please his father. Why? Because that's why the son was born, so that he could die to himself and live to God. That's powerful. That perfecting work is just something you can read about here and do it by faith. You should do it by faith. That's why I say to Peggy every day, you're the best wife. I don't want anyone else. You're perfect just the way you are. And don't change. Don't ever change. Just be the same way unless God speaks to you. If God speaks to you, follow him. Because I'm not God, but God is God. And God, you cannot replace him. The whole world today is living without God. You can see it's a lawless world. There's lawlessness everywhere. Why? Because they're trying to keep the law. If there weren't lawlessness everywhere, it's because people still want to keep the law and, you know, boast on that. I kept the law. I did a good thing today. I made a big offering. I did this. I helped that, and so on and so forth. I wouldn't focus on that. I'd focus on Jesus.
Yes.
Beholding him, you're changed. You're not changed by beholding your beholding or by beholding other people beholding you. You're changed by beholding him, Jesus Christ. He is the whole Bible. The whole Bible says one word, Jesus is your righteousness. That's all. And so by knowing him, you're knowing him in 4, you're knowing him in 5, you're knowing him in 6, now you're perfected. If you don't follow that process, if you don't follow that process, you will not mature. The word for perfection, you remember in the Old Testament, it says, be ye holy as I am holy. Well, you can't. That's something you can't do. But why is he saying it? Because he's talking about Jesus who loves you. That law is actually Jesus' law. It's not yours. You can't even keep those words. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do that. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. You can't even do that. In the Hebrew language, the word perfect is shalem, S-H-A-L-E-M. It's like shalom. So it's that version of the word which says perfect, and you can see there's a lot in the Old Testament. There's other words, tamim and so on and so forth. They're all words that mean perfect, mean complete, finished, something you can't do. You cannot finish anything. You cannot complete anything because you cannot do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Literally. You have to take that literally. If you can do nothing, then who's doing everything? Well, it's not you. You're not even cooperating. You're not even, you know, helping him out or doing one part so he'll do another part. No. You just simply follow the word of God, and that's your joy. That's your peace. That's your life. That's everything. So perfecting saints is impossible. It can't be done. No one can do it. But God wants to do it. And that's all I can tell you is what I read in the Bible. The truth, it'll set you free. The truth is, God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change. You can't. It's impossible. If you could get a hold of this, you'd be free. If you could get a hold of this, you'd be free. So what God wants you to do is nothing. You can be, you don't do anything good, so you're good for nothing. Good. That's what you should be. Good for nothing. Because you can't be good. Don't eat of that tree. That is the one tree don't eat of. And the only tree that will save you from that is the antidote. The antidote, when you get the poison out of eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you can't know good and evil. Only God knows what's good and only God knows what's evil. You can't know it. Anything not God is evil. Anything God is good. God doesn't do evil. He knows about it. It's anything that's not him. The whole world today is in rebellion against God. Mm-hmm. The whole world.
Yeah.
Is there any hope? Yes. In this Bible. This Bible gives you faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, love. When you love somebody, it means you don't exist. You're no longer you. You are now another you, a different you, a new creation, kine katesis. Kine katesis means a new creation, not Jew, not Gentile. You are no longer part of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is unseen, and you can't see anything except these words. There's nothing on earth that you have except these words. Thank God they're written down by the Holy Spirit, who inspired the men to write it, and then interprets the words in here for you. And when you don't know anything, you just ask God, God, I don't understand that word. What does that, what, how am I to understand that? And he'll give you an understanding. 3 o'clock this morning, I woke up. I do it all the time. And I didn't go back to bed. I just stayed up. But I'm full of energy. Why? Because God spoke to me. And the only reason I got up was because God spoke to me in a dream. And then he said, write this down. And so I'm preaching to you what he said. And I saw it in the dream. And I knew that I have to preach that today. I don't have to, but I want to. Because I know it's the Word of God. This God is so real that he can actually speak to you and you can hear him. How? By the Bible. Written Word of God. What does it lead you to? The living Word of God. You cannot know the living without knowing the written. So thank God that everything in the Old Testament is written down, everything in the New Testament is written down, and you can't add anything to it. The Muslims have subtracted things and added things. Well, that's evil. But that's okay. Pray for them. Love them. Forgive them. That's what we're to do with people that are, you know, they're ignorant. They don't know the Word of God. Your life has to be 6. If it's 5, you're not going to attract anybody. If it's 4, you're not going to attract anybody. Those things are not seen. The only thing people see is your life. What does your life look for? That doesn't save you. You're saved right here. Number 4. But what it does is it proves that you are not manifesting yourself. You are manifesting the Lord God. That's why you're born to die to resurrect. You're born to die to resurrect. Chair 4, 5, and 6. So that you become a bridal throne. And she has no agenda except to be the bride of the bridegroom forever and ever. World without end. It can never end. So this is what it means to be. And that's the royal, by the way. The last one is 6 is the royal. The first one is Jesus as your Savior. And then he's the one that baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. 5. The reason he does all that is because without the Holy Spirit, he's the main one today, by the way. You're not dealing with Jesus because you can't see him. You're not dealing with the Father because you can't see him. The only one you can deal with is the Holy Spirit, who he has given to you. Now you have the Holy Spirit. And so I wouldn't worry about, you know, speaking in tongues and so on, because you're now looking at fruit. Don't look at that. Just know that whatever he tells you is the truth, and that will set you free. And pretty soon you find you doing all those things. How do you do them? That was Jesus. Otherwise, you'd take pride in it. Otherwise, you'd think, I did a good work for God. I sacrificed something. You can't. He is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. He's your righteousness. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's everything you need. I hope this blessed you.
Yes.
That
yes.
The perfection of God is not something man can do. Man can't do this. God hath done this. It's already done. Finished before the foundation of the world. Your life is precious to God. He wants to perfect you so that you actually, before Jesus comes back, you actually are perfected, so that when men see your good works, that's what everybody's looking for. You can say it's otherwise. It's not. They're just looking for your works. Men see your good works, but the works are just reflecting Jesus. All you're saying is the words of Jesus, and all you're doing is the work of Jesus. That's it. And that's what they see. They're not attracted to you. They're attracted to what you just said and did, because you are now revealing Jesus. That's all. That's all. It's all about Jesus, because the mercy of God rejoices, laughs. It's something pleasurable. because Jesus now is perfecting the creation of God for his own pleasure. Jesus now. This is Jesus actually working out your salvation. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You think that's you. It isn't you. It's Christ in you, you. So, because he says in the next verse, only God does all of this. Only God can do all this. So he's just saying, you can't work out your salvation, but he can work it out. Don't help him because you can't. Just know that God himself has all this planned for you, and you get to see it. So many of you, like our brother, many of you are wanting to be Christian. Don't work at it. You just have to realize, God, I don't know what to do now that I'm not working, because you don't believe that he actually can work when you're not working. But he only works when you're not working. He only works when you're not working. If it's you, there's nothing to it. But it's vanity. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 64, verse 6, all your righteousness, morals and religion, all of that I hate. I don't hate you, but I hate you doing that. Don't do that. It's a filthy rag. It's something, a stench in God's nostrils. God doesn't want you to do anything. He loves it when you let him do everything. What will he do? Need to read this book. If the more you read this book, so I don't wait for anything to happen. I just simply say to everyone I meet, I have no agenda except to know Jesus. I don't have any agenda to win you or to do anything. I only have one thing. I want to know Jesus. That's my whole life. My whole life is just knowing Jesus. Now, is there anyone here who wants to testify and say, I agree with what you just said. It's by faith now, but later we'll see it. And when you see it, you'll be it. You'll see what you are. It doth not yet appear what we are. But you'll know that when he appeareth, you shall see him as he is. And that's when you become you. You are now feeling it and thinking it and wanting it, just like Jesus. He perfected you. That's your new being. That's your new life. That is the new creation that God is doing. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. I just have to end with this. But unfortunately, most pastors are more interested in their marketing ability. If they have 50,000 members or 5,000 or 100 million, whatever. He doesn't want that. God wants you to do nothing. He wants to do everything for you. Why? He's a God. He's a God that loves you. He's a God that's your loving father. Just like any father who loves his sons, loves his daughters, loves his wife, loves his parents, and so on. That's anybody. You have to be nothing. You have to reseed so that he can increase. So God wants you to do that. I'm not critical of any church at all. I'm just simply saying a fact that most churches don't do this. They're not even structured for it. How do you disciple everybody? Well, you can't do it in a big group like this. You cannot. You can only do it as many as it fits into a small group, even one-on-one. That is what's needed in the gospel today. People that have grown in the ministry are people that constantly can spend lots of time with them so that they can hear just the goodness of God, the greatness of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Mercy endureth forever. Let Israel say his mercy. Let the priest say his mercy. Let everybody say it. Let anyone who fears God say, and his mercy endures forever. So, the mercy of God is your righteousness. Amen. That's your righteousness. That you didn't decide that. He decided. Let's close in prayer.